Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Triple Hop Session Series. My name's Charlie. You can find me on Instagram at CharlieErling1 and at CraftCanGang.
And I'm Ryan. You can find me on Instagram underneath the Bearded Beer Block.
So what we're going to do for this episode, we're going to do an experiment and trial a new format. It's got some interesting questions, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, it's very difficult, but we'll see.
So there's another podcast that I listen to called Films to be Buried With, and that is hosted by Brett Goldstein. If anyone here or listening has seen Ted Lasso, he's Roy Kent in Ted Lasso, but he's had a film podcast for years. And I think some of the questions, if you reframe them to focus on beer, are really interesting. So what I've done is shamelessly ripped off those questions and changed the word film to beer and scene to drunk. So Ryan, being the good sport that he is, he's going to be the first guinea pig of this new format. And then what we're thinking is this is how we'll do episodes with guests in the future.
It sounds good. Obviously, you're going next.
Yeah, I'll go next, of course, yeah. So I think, Ryan, there are a few questions, so I think we should just belt right into it.
That's good.
First one, what is the first beer that you remember having, and what was the first craft beer?
Yeah, this is the one quite hard at the beginning. First beer is dead easy. I remember this. I'm going to go with the first legal beer.
Okay, fine.
So it was definitely, it would have been a pint of Caffery's with my dad in a working men's club in Birstall, just outside of Leeds where I grew up.
Yeah.
Standard, still like it to this day. Good pint.
Yeah, there's some nostalgia there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a great pint. And then going on the craft beer thing was like, there was a few, and I went on my Untappd, which I don't use a lot, and I went scrolled all the way to the beginning. And I had a beer in my head already about this. And it was one of the first, like, kind of, when I don't know the exact date because I don't remember when I started blooding Untappd. So it's a beer called Perla. And it's from Signature Brew.
Okay.
And this beer is on the back of a Swedish punk band that people might know called Millencolin. And might be familiar with the song No Cigar if they've played the Tony Hawk's skateboarding game.
It's just gone down a really, really strange direction already.
So at the time, I remember I was just drinking like your normal kind of real ale, and I'd seen this pop up and I was like, I need to get hold of this, because at the time, Millencolin just released the album with a similar artwork, and Signature Brew brought this beer out called Perla, the 7% white IPA. No idea.
Interesting.
And then when I've looked back at the hops that was in this as well, I was like, eh? Kind of. So it's just Raku and Wakatu.
Like, wow. Okay. Really modern hop. How long ago was that? Can you put a rough time frame on it?
2016.
Okay. That's really progressive for them.
That's what I thought as well. And
Cow beer in 2016.
And I'm like Googling and going, have they rebrewed this? Because I was like, yeah. What? But yeah, and that was kind of one of those beers where I was like, it all kind of started around that time. I know that I was also working with Mark Bearded underscore AF, and he was the one as well. He had like a few cans, but I have no idea what the Cloudwater cans were. This was the one that I kind of remember at the top of my head, like what it was. Like, I mean, if you go to Untappd and type in Polar and you'll see it, it's like a blue can with a polar bear on the front, which is similar to the artwork of the album.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look that up. You know, if you'd have given me like 20 guesses as to what the first brewery would be that you had a craft beer from, I wouldn't have never in a million years have got Signature Brew.
No, neither would I until I looked. But when you sent these questions out, I'd read the first one, so I knew that I was kind of playing around with it in my head when I've been driving. And I was like, I'm sure I had that really early on. And I think a few listeners will like know I heard of the band Millencolin anyway, and maybe have had the beer.
Well, I mean, that, what a way to start.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
it only goes downhill from here. I have peaked on the first question.
It's such a good answer to the first question. I'm so excited for some of these questions coming up.
Oh,
so
no,
the next one. What beer do you love but other people hate?
I struggled so much with this because I kind of like everything apart from there's like certain things that I don't like, but I've gone with here Northern Monk's Faith, and this is a bit of a curveball here. And I think it's one of those beers where I think people have got to the point where they just go, not that they hate it, but But for me, I still love it because of what it is, and it's like from where I'm from, and it's one of those good fallback standard beers. I don't know if people hate it. I don't know. I get the impression
that they hate it. I think with the amount of time it's now been in supermarkets, some like people that are new to the craft beer scene probably put it in the same category as Punk IPA.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't belong in that category. But I think just because of where it is and how available it is, and you know, most people coming into the scene now won't encounter Faith on tap in a tap room. They'll find it on the shelf in Tesco. So that's just where they put it.
Yeah, I think that was where the kind of thinking behind it. And I was like, and I think there's like people, it's hard to think. I really, really did struggle with this one because I was trying to think, what do people out there absolutely hate that I'll go, oh, I love that. And I was like, I don't think there's that many.
No, that's fair. That's fair. It's a hard question. And again, this is where you can tell this is a format that was not designed for a beer podcast.
Oh, really, really difficult.
All right. The next one I think is a little bit more straightforward. What is a beer that you once loved, but you now realize is terrible?
So this is the brewery we just mentioned, and it's BrewDog.
Okay.
And the beer is Hazy Jane. So I think...
I'm going to have to change my answer for when you ask me. That is exactly my answer as well.
So I think like back then, like back when BrewDog were kind of, I don't know, how do we say it? They were kind of like the hip on the scene. And Hazy Jane was one of those accessible, like hazy beers that we were kind of like, obviously we love now. And they were popular in the UK. And I remember having this maybe sometime midsummer. And it was a friend had brought some over. And he was like, do you want a can? And I was like, yeah. Oh, it's awful. And I have recently had the Hazy Jane Guava, which is quite nice. I'll give him that. It's all right. It's quite enjoyable for one can. It's okay. But the original Hazy Jane, I don't know if they've changed or it's just the fact that we're just used to better beers now. And it's a terrible beer.
It's probably a combination. And I feel the exact same way because I remember having it, like before it was in supermarkets, I had it on draft in a BrewDog bar, I think, you know, maybe really early 2019, late 2018, maybe. But yeah, it was great. It was really good. It was like the other hazy stuff I'd be having outside of BrewDog. But you're right, it's just backslid, hasn't it? They reduced the ABV quite substantially because it used to be about 7.5, I think.
Yeah, I've only been in more sessionable than.
Yeah, I mean, to its detriment. But yeah, it's a great answer. I think a lot of people will be nodding along with you on that one. So, next one. What is the beer that means the most to you, not because of the beer itself, but because of the circumstances that you drank it in?
This is quite, yeah, this one I've gone back kind of with the first answer, the family thing. Mm-hmm. I'm quite sentimental. So my beer is John Smith's, and this beer means a lot because growing up with my granddad, this is all he ever drank. So we went to the local and we'd go play snooker or we'd play dominoes. This is what I would drink. Is John Smith's from my granddad. I know it's not the best beer in the world, and I know it's probably a beer that I probably wouldn't even want to drink now. But back then, and probably now, when I still see it, and like, yeah, I think it's quite a sentimental beer, and you know, it does mean a lot to me. You know, it's one of those that even like even at the wake when my granddad passed, I was drinking John Smith's at the wake, and I was like, I think it was the right thing to do, even though I was like, no, it's not the best beer.
But when you drink it now, does it take you back?
Yeah, of course it does. And when I still see it on the taps, I still smile a little bit. You know, it does mean a lot. It's one of those, it's definitely a sentimental beer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy, isn't it? How, you know, just a liquid can properly, or even the branding of a liquid can take you back to like a place in the time.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of like, even when you just hold it in the glass and smell of it, you know, it's that kind of, yeah, I think it's just one of those. And yeah, again, this one was another one where I was going over the question, trying to think of life scenarios and go, you know, what's the beer that means the most? And you're like, it's really difficult. I think it's quite hard in the craft scene because we don't really tend to drink the same thing over and over again. There's so much variety. So to try and single out, I kind of had to get out of the craft scene and go into like the normal kind of scene and see what else was out there. I was like, actually, yeah, that one's the best answer for this.
Wait, are you saying John Smith's isn't craft?
Oh, come on. Heineken, though.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, yeah, fair. Less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
So the next one. Which beer is objectively the greatest ever?
So this one, again, I'm like reading and reading it, and I've gone with the one for me, which is the greatest beer of all time. the greatest haze, which is DDH, Ghost in the Machine.
Okay.
And I've gone with this. I just think all round, that's still, for me, the bench. It's the benchmark beer of any haze ever created. I think there's, for me, there's still no better yellow liquid that be produced than that beer.
No, I know what you mean. It, for the style, it is flawless.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a batch of it that was, you know, any less special than I remember the first one being either.
This is exactly it. I mean, that's another one where it's like, not that it means a lot, but it's one of those kind of rare things that comes around, and every time you have it, it's just, it's like a breathtaking beer.
Yeah.
It's just,
and it stands up over time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you revisit beers from early on, like the discussion we've just had about Hazy Jane, how easy would it be to come back to that in a couple of years and say, oh, the scene's moved on. You know, this was good at the time, but it's not, is it? Every time it has the same effect.
Every time. And I mean, there's a lot of beers out there that we've had growing up in, like, in the scene where you've had them and gone, which is one that I will talk about later on, which is similar to this. But it's like, it's one of those beers where it was that far advanced. Like, when it came out, that bit, when the first time you had that, that was so far in front of everything else, to the point where I think a lot of stuff is still, I mean, there's probably is some hazy stuff out there that has overtaken it from some of the big boys like Monkish and Fidens and North Park, and maybe Cloudwater have probably brought some out, you know, just as good, if not better. But for me, that is the reason it's that good is that's the one that, for me, you compare every kind of haze to.
Yeah, it's the benchmark.
It is the benchmark. It is the benchmark. And there's probably not that many that I've had personally that I've just kind of, I've had the wow factor. That's the thing with that beer. Like you just said, you can have it year after year, and every year you look forward to it, knowing that you're going to go, oh yeah, that's how it should be.
I think it's also like the whole package around that beer, the fact they don't release it all the time, the packaging of it itself, the can art, how much hassle it is to get hold of it, like, it all contributes to it being a really great experience.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the can itself's beautiful, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's stunning.
The Parish Ghost Machine logo, and then even just on the normal bottle, looks amazing. But when you put it on the silver reflective can,
there's a holographic.
Yeah,
that's a great answer. That's a really good answer. So next up, what is the beer that you could or have drunk the most?
I mean, we should be sponsored by this beer, this podcast.
Oh, for God's sake.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
So Rivington, Never Known Fog, and I think it's probably one of those. We've talked about this numerous times. It comes out, I buy two or three cans on every release. It's the beer there where, and when I looked at this question, it was the one where, you know, if you go to a barbecue or you go to like just your friend's house to watch the football, and I could sit there and you were allowed to have like one beer for the night, I wouldn't want to have eight cans of double IPA. No. Don't want that. But give me like a good solid pail that can replicate a double IPA that's not going to get me smashed, and something that's juicy and bold and, you know, just what I want. Never Known Fog is still that beer.
And yeah, I know it's that.
There's still the argument on Instagram when we still see it about the best sub maybe 6% beer, and people still...
Well, it's 5.2, isn't it? People are like, it's the 5.2, best 5.2% pale. And it's like steady rolling. Is it Fog? Is it Mary Lou? I mean, you could go back and forth forever, but I think we all know the one true god of 5.2%.
Yeah, it's Fog. And there's people out there. I know there's a few old friends with them, and they've had it, and they probably don't rate it as much as probably we do. But for me, yeah, that's it.
So when you said, you know what I'm going to say, I had two things in my head. I thought it was either going to be Fog or Guinness.
Oh, right, fair. Guinness doesn't get a mention on this pod.
Oh, unfortunately, yeah, I bought it. I bought it up. Thought we could go an episode without it. Unfortunately, not. All right, so... This I know this next question is quite difficult, but this is going to be interesting to see people kind of reason their way through it. What is a beer that you don't love as a whole, but it's got a single characteristic that you love? So there's something about it that you really love, but, you know, as a whole package, you're kind of nonplussed for.
Yeah, so this was the hardest one for me. And I've gone down, I'm bringing back the confectionery thing from years gone by of this podcast.
Oh, Ryan Sweet Shop.
Yep. And it's the most underrated, yet the best chocolate bar out there, which is the Star Bar. And this is a beer called Star Beer from Beering.
Yeah, I remember that.
it's a yearly release. It's not the best stout in the world, but it just tastes of Starbars. And for me, I'm just like, I love that beer. I love it on cask as well. It's amazing. It's a really is a good beer. All round, yeah, it's definitely not the best stout in the world, and it's not the best stout probably in Yorkshire, but still, because it's of the kind of connection to probably the best chocolate bar in the world.
Oh, that's interesting. Star Bar is the best chocolate bar in the world.
100%. It's
100%. Like a budget Snickers.
It's not a budget like a
Snickers. Poor man Snickers, aren't they?
It's a boost with peanut butter in, basically.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, you sold it to me.
Yeah. And I mean, there was a few ones. There was a couple of others, and I think there was one that we kind of mentioned before, and it was like the Phantom beers with the Blink-182 connection. I'm a massive Blink fan. I like the beers. The new beer is really good. The Dark Side, so big shout out to Phantom. The first stout I've had from them, and it's really good. The salted caramel stout, yeah, really good. Yeah. Really, really good. And the artwork on that can is sick as well.
Yeah. Really good. I mean, that's why, you know, we were going back and forth on a few answers, weren't we? And I thought they might appear in yours. Because, like, the Phantom Pales are good. But feeling this is not fog.
No.
It's not for the ABV. So it's like that, I thought, could have been a strong contender for you as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. Feeling this is, as a pale, it's a solid, really good beer. But if you were to put it aside of fog, it doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Fog is the kind of DDH ghost in the machine of the 5.2% realm, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's a good way to put it.
Nice. All right, the next one. What's the last beer that you drank? Not including the one you're drinking right now.
No, I know. It was Larry from the Vale.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which I had on Saturday night, which is a banana and maple syrup, imperial stout thing. And I know you got rid of yours over your Untappd thing. And the Untappd score was funny because I looked at it as well and it was like, it carries a 4.1 and a lot of reviews are too much banana. And it's like the whole label is a guy's face made of bananas.
Yeah, there's a banana scratch and sniff on the back.
Yeah, the actual face, you scratch the face and it smells of bananas.
Oh, yeah, it's the front, isn't it? Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
So I didn't know this until I saw Untappd and I was like, hang on. I had to get up and go back into the kitchen and grab the bottle and I was scratching it. Yeah. Going, oh, it does. It smells of bananas.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I love banana stouts. And people going, oh, it's got too much banana. It's like, yeah, but what if you had bought it and it had gone, there's not enough banana in this.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes. It's like you're buying, unless you're having it at a festival and it's just like a little pour, you know, it's an all-in festival. You're not paying per pour.
Yeah.
If you get a bottle of that, you've gone out of your way, most likely, unless you just happen to live in Richmond, Virginia, you've gone out of your way to source a banana stout from the Vale.
Yeah.
And the chances are you know who the Vale are and you know that they're pretty extreme with their flavours. So what are you expecting?
I did genuinely think it would have carried a higher rating because it is just banana, maple syrup and chocolate sauce in a bottle.
Yeah.
The amount of how thick it was at the bottom, the sludge at the bottom was insane. But
oh, God.
And then it even left like a halo around the top of the bottle where it had been sitting at the top of the fill line.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that much was just sat in it. It actually coated the whole inside of the bottle.
Wow.
No, that was the last beer I had on Saturday. Yeah, very enjoyable. 12%. But yeah, all around. Yeah, solid one to start off the pod of this segment.
That is good. That's a great last beer. Okay, the next one. This is a really fun question, actually. I can't help but think about my own answers to these, which is going to help us out for next week when we record my episode. But what is the best beer that you never want to drink again?
Right, this one, this is the one that was mentioned before about, like, when you compare it to the Goaty Ghost. So the beer is KKK King Julius.
Oh, okay. Right.
And the reason behind this is, back when US beers were absolutely impossible to source, Julius, for me, was the holy grail.
Yeah.
This single Julius. And I had it, yeah, blew me away. And then fast forward a year, 2 years down the line, I've had it again. And I was like, this isn't as good as I remember it being. I don't know whether it's one of those beers that they've not changed the recipe But at the time, it wasn't as far forward as maybe the UK scene as we thought. I'm just saying KKK, King Julius, I think that's the best way to say it. But
Black, silver, and gold can.
Yeah, the black, silver, and gold one. Yeah.
I think still the highest rated IPA in the world. Hilarious.
Yeah, but this is it. And that did blow me away. And I'm like, I don't really want to have this again now. Because it was that good when I had it. If I have it again and it's not as good, am I going to be like, actually...
So you don't want to have it again in case it ruins the memory of the first time, like
exactly
when you repeated Julius?
When I had exactly that. And that's... that.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know if that was what you were looking for in an answer on this question.
That's a really interesting way to approach it. It's kind of like a never meet your heroes thing, isn't it? But exactly don't ever re-meet your heroes.
Yeah, that's the way that I read the question. So I was like, when I thought about it, I was like, yeah, because if someone handed me a can, I'd be like, fair. But I wouldn't go out of my way now to seek it because I've had the beer and I'd be like, yeah, it's amazing. But knowing that Julius kind of didn't stand up to test the time of how good it was back 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Would this one now, would I have it and go, oh, actually?
Well, I mean, every time we repeat drink of beer, I think we're chasing that experience, aren't we? We're like, you want to recreate the magic of the first time. Sometimes it's repeatable over time, like DDH Ghost. Sometimes it just doesn't work, like with Julius. But yeah, that's a really interesting way to approach that question.
I think as well, like with what you've just said there, though, as well, like it's... it is that kind of thing with experience. And I think sometimes is that the case where we see this, I only want the first batch. And the first batch tends to have more of a hype than the second batch. But is that because when you had it the first time, over the second time you had it, were you expecting too much because you remember the first time? So why does the first batch always come off?
Why is B1 always better?
Exactly that. And is it because of what you just said there, that people have the second one and go, it's not as good as I remember it being. But then that first time you have it, it could have been a totally different scenario. It might be the first beer you've had in the day, which we spoke about in the last podcast. Yeah. It might be the first beer that you had in the day. Or it was a better environment with better friends. And then you have it the second time, maybe on your own, and it's not as fun. And you just kind of go, oh, yeah, it's not as good this.
Yeah.
It is. I think a lot of it is that kind of placebo effect that comes into play.
Well, yeah, it's like the circumstances, isn't it? It's all down to the circumstances around it and the context. It's like, if you think about, so like the other half birthday tippers are kind of where my head goes when I try and think about this. And the fact that we had them in that hotel room before Friends and Family 2020, we were recording an episode, we were all like real giddy and excited.
Yeah,
I remember those beers so vividly, and I've had them since. And you know, they didn't stand up to how I remember them being in that hotel room with Neil and Simon and Mark. They were nowhere near.
I think that is because there's other factors of that. Because I think back then these beers were like when you saw other half at a beer festival, it's a massive deal. Whereas now it's like a music festival. You go seeing for me like a metal festival, seeing Slipknot or Iron Maiden headline. You go again.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's lost the magic.
I think it's because it's become so accessible now that, like, it has, and I don't know whether that plays into it.
It's got to. I think it has. All right, the next question. Which beer could you have made and why? So, again, this is another interesting question because I think people will approach this differently.
Mm.
But I think the crux of it is, you know, which beer have you drunk that you think this so closely matches everything that I love that I could have made it?
Such a difficult one. This is the hardest one of them all.
All right.
And I've even got one down in my head. I'm thinking of changing it. So,
all right. Well, whatever you go for, I want to hear the other one as well.
So the one I picked was Fruit Cart Site Exhibition from Verdun. Okay. And the reason this is, I think it's just because in the IPA world, I think the best beers are always the ones that have citra in.
Right.
And I know it's a bit of a weird kind of thing to say, but the kind of yellow beer anyway. And I think that, like, when, you know, they brought this out and, well, I mean, it is still, for me, it's the best UK double IPA. It's the best. And I think it's one of those, like, all-rounded ones. If I was going to pick something, and I would play it safe, and it's a safe option, just going with one hop. If you, you know what I mean, if you were going to make your first IPA, you're going to do a Citra beer.
Yeah.
So why not pick the best one?
Yeah, I mean, you love Citra, don't you? Yeah. I mean, DDH Ghost in the Machine is all Citra. It's exactly, not a surprise that you're a big Citra fan.
Well, yeah, Fruit Cat Sight Machine. I don't know why I've said it. What have I said there?
Fruit Cat Sight Exhibition.
I've got DDH. I'm thinking of the next mashup there in my head. But the other one was PM Dawn by Trillium.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just because I love coffee, and there's not a better coffee style in a can than that beer.
No, and you do love Trillium.
Yeah, I do love Trillium, but I also love, PM Dawn is, again, for me, coffee stouts in a can. I know it's different from, I don't know why it's different from a bottle, but all around coffee stout, it's the best. That's the best. It's the best. This has been very US heavy so far, but I brought it down with John Smith, so.
Yeah, I think it's a nice balance, to be honest. It's triple hopped. People expect us to talk about hazy US beer, don't they?
Yeah.
All right, next one. What is a beer that you've said that you liked to impress people?
This is going to shock people with this one. And when I first had it, I thought it was goddamn awful, but it was one of all the cool kids were drinking.
Oh, I think I know what this is going to be, and it's going to really hurt my feelings, isn't it?
It's 2.8%.
Oh, maybe not then. Okay. And
it's Schopfhofer.
Right, okay.
So when I first had this, I thought it was vile. And there wasn't understanding why people thought it was this magnificent kind of hangover beer. I thought it was grim. I do like it now, but back then I was like, this is lovely. Like kind of over the shoulder, copied it out. I'm like, no, this is not nice at all.
Did that really impress people though? Was it? I must have missed the phase where that was cool. Is it cool now?
Don't know. I think back then it was kind of like a cooler beer kind of thing, maybe a northern thing, but
it seems like a bit of like an anti-beer culture, like a bit of a counterculture thing. It's quite subversive, isn't it? It's like anti-craft almost.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, this was one that I kind of went, the only beers which I would say I liked to impress people at the time, it was like Belgium stuff, but I can't stand it. And I just used to go like Orville, and I know that those people are going to be like, but I have no idea people drink that.
I thought you were going to say Pliny.
No. I don't like Pliny. I've said this before, it's overrated.
Yeah, fair.
And I just think it's, I think it, for what it is, and the people like who go out and seek it as if this is this like amazing thing. It's the most underwhelming beer I've ever had. I think it was the fact that it was made out to be this amazing thing, and then I had it and I was like, all right, yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. You're going to hurt some feelings there, aren't you?
It's fine. I mean, I have no issue with that. I just think that West Coast beers are kind of difficult. I mean, there is bad ones, don't get me wrong. There is bad ones out there. And Pliny is a very good beer, but it's hard to push that style to the next level.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, are you going to make it more resinous? It's like, we've done the IBU wars thing. Yeah. I'm not really sure that there's much room. There isn't a lot of headroom in that category.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it's a difficult... But yeah, again, I'm going to talk about a West Coast later on, so we'll see. So
you are. All right. Okay. Well, the next question. What is a beer that is mad that you haven't had?
So this is one that I've kind of... is on the list that I want to have. And I'm surprised by the amount of kind of bottle shares that I've been to. I have not come across this. And it's Dryfontein Perzek.
Oh, wow, okay. You love stone fruit. How have you not had that?
I've never come across it. I've never had it in a share.
Let me tell you, I might make your day because they're available on Etra right now.
All right. I didn't realise that. Oh, I might be able to... Well,
tonight sorted, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is mad that you've not had it. You've never had any of them.
No, never had it. No, I've just never come across it. Not even in a share. It's just never come out. I've just never seen it.
They seem to be really elusive, Perzek, to be fair. I've only ever had it at festivals.
Yeah. No, I've just never come across it. So it was just one of those. But that's the one. I was racking my brain with this one as well. And I was like, what is that out there? And I was like, what is kind of left on that list of beers? Like, I've kind of had all the US stuff that I'd want to try. I've done all that. And I was like, yeah, I think it's that one from Dryfontein. 3F, as we've also said. But yeah, Perzek from them, I've just never come across it.
That is mad. Well, I hope you get one soon, because I have a feeling you're really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Now, we're going to round it out with the last question. So, if you had a time capsule, what beer would you send to the future to sum up the current beer scene?
Yeah, again, another one where I've gone with two beers on this.
All right.
So I've gone with Elusive Oregon Trail.
Amazing. What a beer that is.
And it's just because at the moment, I think that's one of the best, and it is a West Coast, but I think at the moment, it's one of the best kind of all-round good British brewing beers.
Now, and Elusive are the closest brewery, closest decent-sized brewery to me as the crow flies. I go there very often, go and buy cans from there. Had Oregon Trail on can, on tap, all of it. Couldn't agree with you more. It's like, it's one of the most competently brewed beers being made in the UK, I think.
Yeah, and I think that was one that I kind of went out and I was like, I looked at everything and I was like, you know what, like, I think that's probably what out there. And I'm like, if someone opened it up in like 100 years time, and it was obviously looked after and it was pristine and it hadn't
And cryogenically like, frozen.
Yeah, and someone went, I think they would go, wow. Because I don't, you know, 100 years from now, who knows what will be going on. I think I don't know what else you can put in a beer, which brings us to the next one, which would be, it's not any certain beer, but it would be a can of Vault City.
Right, so you've gone two ends of the spectrum then. You've gone like reserved, classic, really well made, and then absolutely batshit.
Yeah, and I just think then it'd be like, look at what these crazy like motherfuckers were drinking back. I mean, I don't touch it because I don't like anything they do. But I just think that like they'd be like, oh look, what were they all drinking back then?
Yeah, like raspberry, peanut butter, tiramisu,
double IPA
skies. Yeah.
And I'm like, they'd be like, what the hell was going on back then? And I know people absolutely adore Vault City, they love them and you know, fair play. They've got the smallest tap room ever. Seats eight people.
Yeah, it's basically a phone box, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Thai massage parlor. That's where it used to be.
Interesting. Yeah. Happier endings nowadays, I hope.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. So those two ends of the spectrum, what do you think that says about the current beer scene there?
I don't think we know where we are at the moment. And I think that it's got to the point where, as it peaked and we've got breweries who are trying to just go, you know what, we're happy with what we're doing. I mean, you look at Colonel, you know, they've been around forever and they've just never gone, you know what, we don't give a shit about hype. We're just going to make really good beers, just carry on going. And I think that would, you know, that was the other one that I was thinking about putting something from the Colonel, because obviously it just shows you how good the standard is.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, with maybe the peak, it's like you got someone like Vault City, and they're like, you know what? What else can we throw in this base of a beer? What have we got available?
Yeah.
And it is that. And they're like kind of keeping that Insta scene alive with all these silly things that they make. And yeah, I don't know. It's just.
I think that's that's a really interesting way to tackle that question. Rather than like pick one that sums it up as a whole, you've gone for both ends of the spectrum and be like, I don't know, you decide where we are. It's somewhere between these two.
Exactly. It was difficult. I think they're quite fun, that. And it'd be good. I'm looking forward to seeing how you answer these and how other people who we invite on the show, they answer these as well.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, this won't be a spoiler, but I've approached some of these questions in a very different way, which I think is going to be really fun.
So I'm looking forward to know how you do it. Because I've read these just background. They were just straight questions. And I was
I mean, it doesn't help that you've never listened to the podcast that these were shamelessly ripped off from. Like, that might have helped for context, but, you know, I'm kind of happy with the way it's turned out.
Yeah, me too.
Nice. Well, that was a fun episode.
Yeah, enjoyed that. It was good.
Nice. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to do my version of this, then we're going to get some live guests on from the wild world of beer Instagram. So, if you are a beer Instagrammer, which you probably are if you listen to this, and you want to come on the show, drop us a message and also leave a comment on the episode. Let us know what you thought of Ryan's answers. We don't have a punny name for this episode yet, but by the time it comes out, hopefully I'll have come up with something.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. Cheers, folks.
Thanks a lot.